Mr. Darlington again.
Okay. And workshop number two was on Native arts and artists, and we had Betsy Darlington come in on Friday, and she did a really good presentation. The ladies really enjoyed her presentation. And on Saturday, we had Gail and Cedric Isaac come in from Walpole Island. And Gail Isaac, she just got started doing oil paints. Up until then, she was doing mostly logos and stuff like that. And so she says she can't keep her artwork long enough to, she couldn't bring very much down. So she had to go around borrowing pictures so she could have a presentation for us. And Cedric, he had a lot of work too. A couple of them he had to go and borrow also, because his work apparently sells just as fast. And, so they're becoming well known. And Gail's husband, Greg, is it? He came with them. And him and Cedric sang us a few songs after lunch and that. It was a really nice afternoon. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. Really nice workshop. And the third one is going to take place in July sometime, and it'll be on Bill C-31. And what they're hoping to do is to have representatives from the three area reserves and maybe Six Nations to come in and talk about what their membership codes are and kind of leave us their rules, I guess, or their code or whatever it is, so that we'll have it here for people if they come and ask, you know, if they want to, how they get back on and stuff like that. We can say, well, Oneida does this or Chippewa does that, and, or, you know, whatever. And then we have an elders group here, and elders here is used loosely, and anyone that's a grandparent can be a part of this group. You don't have to be a senior or a traditional person or whatever. And they get money too also from Secretary of State. They apply every year. And one of their projects is for a lady to do home visits. And she goes around especially to the elderly. She has a list. She makes visits to everybody that she can. And the other part is just to help sponsor their meetings, you know, like funding to have the van go around, pick them up. And they've been out to dinner. They've been on a couple of trips. So they're quite busy too. I forget everything I told you about now. All Little Beavers, we have a Little Beavers program. And Little Beavers will be going like on a daily plan beginning in July. And since the kids will be out of school, well, they'll be going probably from about 10 o'clock in the morning till maybe 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And they'll go someplace and do something every day. And it's open to kids between the ages of 6 and 16. Got a blank here.
Let me go back to the ladies' auxiliary again with the workshop topics. How were they decided upon? Was this something that came from the ladies' auxiliary that they wanted to hear about, or?
Originally, it did. With the first grant that they got from Secretary of State, they decided on what kind of workshops they were gonna put on. The second ones, they took a survey, and like at the end of each session, they asked you to fill out a questionnaire and that, and asked the people what they would be interested in having. And they had Verna Johnson down at that time, and she did cooking for them. And that was one of the reasons why they wanted to bring her back, because she didn't have enough time for this one-day session. And the Bill C-31 workshop was, they didn't want to stop. Again, a one-day workshop, so that's why they're going to have another one. And that's how they're, and that's how these ones were determined. And the Native art, they were going to present two different aspects, and one would have been the, like they had a traditional person and a drummer come in and talk about what he believes in doing what he does, and there wasn't enough time again, like in one day session. And so that's why these workshops were designed for 2 days, so that they'd be able to fully discuss and ask questions and do everything that they wanted to do. It's just a little disappointing, that's all. Just need more coordination.
No, I interrupted you. I didn't know if there was other things you mentioned. I was observing and looking at those.
Yeah, I think I got everything in there, because I mentioned the boxing club and community development, the court workers. We don't really have a youth program.
On and off.
Yeah, on and off. Like the youth have booked space to have a meeting, but I don't think they meet every week. I'm not here, so I don't know. But I don't think they do. Yeah, we have a bowling league. And we have some summer positions coming on board. We have 4 positions through community and social services. And we have 2 positions through Experience 87. So we'll be having some summer students. We have others in here, like we just completed a placement with the social work program through Fanshawe. And Kate Albert was here working with our community liaison worker and with our family court worker. And we have some people in here from the Entry 86 program, originates out of Mall Bridges, and they do halftime here. So there's lots going on already.
Could you tell us about the volunteers? There are a lot of volunteers, outside volunteers.
Yeah, like we don't use volunteers on a regular basis. Like we don't say, can you give us 2 hours a day or anything like that. We use hundreds of volunteers, maybe for one event, maybe that'll take 2 days. You know, for instance, if it's the powwow, we might need 100 volunteers. For the cavalcade, we needed more, you know, and that's for 2.5 days. But leading up to this, you know, like they're all involved for weeks before the actual event. So at any one time, we could need up to 100 volunteers.
You got a lot of community.
Oh, yes. And the same thing is going to happen with the NAFC thing. We'll be using a lot of volunteers again.
If you could, if you were making the plan for what you see Mamaroneck doing in the community over the next 5 or 10 years, what do you think are the most important things?
I think that the importance is keeping the community involved by just the way that they have been this past year in the programs such as Ojibwe language and Oneida language, because like we can't do it all ourselves. I mean, we can be here to provide the services that we do, but the community has to be interested for these other activities to take place and to go on. You know, we can start them, and that's what we've been trying to push, you know, that we're here as resource people. If somebody out there has an idea that they want to start something, do something, we'll help, but they really shouldn't expect us to organize and carry it out, that somebody from the community should be willing to do that, and we'll support them 100%. Or 50.
As a Native woman, how do you feel about the non-status women returning back to the reserve? What's your opinion on it?
Well, I don't really have a problem with it at all, you know, like I've listened to a lot of the older people who have said, you know, well, they knew what they were doing when they married off, they shouldn't be allowed and stuff like that. But I'm of the belief that there are a lot of people who married outside the reserve, not fully realizing exactly what it did mean, because I was one of those people. I knew nothing about what being Indian meant, what being status meant, or what was going to happen to me simply moving from one reserve to another. It just happened, you know, it's all done. And there you go. You don't really know. And you can't know, you know.
Well, today, now, how do you feel about it? Like, you yourself, like, how do you feel about what had happened? What's your opinion on what had happened to the Native Americans?
Like, I don't know. I just didn't concern me.
I know with me, I'm angry about it because I don't think that that's right.
Uh-huh.
That they should withdraw the Native woman off the reserve. They could have told her, okay, if you marry off the reserve, then fine, it's fine, but only you can return and your children can return. They should have given them the other option rather than just saying you're non-status, you're not Indian, that's it. There's
mm-hmm.
all this to it, and the children had no say in the matter. So I'm angry about that.
Yeah.
But then I'm one of the ones that are categorized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm band number 222 or 292 now, or 122. And who wants to be walking around with band number saying, well, your name's not Carolyn, but you're band 122, or your number 122. I mean, I could go to jail and get a better number and a bigger number.
Probably.
What's the point in having to go back and be called a number?
Yeah. Well, like I say, I don't have any real feelings about that, you know, because I guess I was just safe in the knowledge that it didn't affect me, you know, like I just married an Indian from another reserve, and the only way it affected me was I had to move over there. I really didn't lose anything. I didn't lose anything at home other than that I can't live there, and that really doesn't bother me. And I'm glad for my children that it happened this way, because it could have, I suppose it could have just as easily happened another way.
How do you feel the difference between living in the city and being on the reserve? Like, do you find there's a big difference?
Yeah. I prefer to live on the reserve just simply because of the quietness as compared to city living. I don't like that hustle and bustle, and I like to go out into my backyard and not have people all around me.
In your daily routine around here, how well do you get along with the people that you work with and the people that you come in contact with? Do you have a hard time dealing with it?
No, I actually find it very easy. There are some people who say that that I'm standoffish, but maybe there are times when I am, I don't know, but I try to keep that at the top of my mind, you know, when someone comes in to make them feel welcome.
I don't find that when I first met you that long.
Well, I've heard some people say that, and so that's
sometimes
why I say
people can mistake quietness.
Yeah. Yes.
Or if you laugh and joke around, they don't think you're serious about anything.
Yeah.
So you're messed up either way.
Yeah. So, but unless, you know, like, we never run into any real problems here. There are times when, say, the odd person comes in who's under the influence of alcohol, but it's getting less and less now, because we really enforce our rule, you know, that there's no alcohol or drugs allowed in here. And if they won't leave on their own, we escort them out or call the police.
Do you find that Namron has a certain code. I noticed when I first came to the city that Namron never associated the traditional ways as much as they're doing now. Is there such a big effect in the people's lives that work at Namron for that reason? Like, how are they fighting it? Some of them find it really hard to accept, or do they eventually come around?
No, some people won't participate at all. If you're talking about staff, there are some people that won't participate at all. And the reason that there's more cultural stuff in that area is because the board has a push on for more cultural events. And we, for the most part, will only go so far because they're, you know, like, you can't push it on people either. And we can only present the things that we know that people will participate in. You know, like, when that one year when we had a health workshop here, and the second day was traditional, a lot of people walked out, you know, like, they wouldn't stay for it because they didn't want nothing to do with what they call Longhouse. And there's a lot of people like that, so you have to be careful.
It kind of surprises me because I know, being on the outside all the time, looking in, I always wanted to find out more. I'm so interested in it, like, I can't get enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I'm going to go out and do medicine or hurt somebody or you know, but
mm-hmm.
I
turn around.
I have a picture of her in her hat, you see.
I turn around and I found that I got more out of it, and I'm still getting more out of it, like, every day of my life, and I'm trying now to use the traditional way as part of my life. I'm not saying, like, I'm going to burn sweetgrass every morning, or I'm going to do tobacco offerings or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but what I'm doing now is the wisdom aspect of the culture, because all Native people have this sort of wisdom that they use in with their children, that it's really good that way. I wish you wouldn't do that. I'm nervous.
You think you're shaking before you came in? I'll have you really shaking by the time you leave.
I know you will. But I find that with the wisdom part of it, that you learn more. And I think, like, having the elders come into the center is really benefits. I think that's where it begins. That's
mm-hmm.
where your traditional teaching begins. People say, well, what is tradition?
Yeah.
What's tradition to you?
See, like that part of it I would participate in, you know, because I do think that the elders do have a lot that they can teach you, that they can tell you. And I would respect that.
So if there's a range of traditional kinds of things as well as other activities going on, it really does provide the Native community with an option. They can move in where, as you say, there's
yes.
some traditional things that you feel
that
comfortable
I could,
with
yes.
and that you would like as a part of your life, and others that you might not
yeah.
feel as strongly about.
Yeah, and the reason for that is because I was brought up in a Christian church, and I still have that belief, you know, like, when it comes right down to it, like, if I'm being really challenged, I still believe in it. And even though I've had the contacts with the Longhouse and stuff like that, it is still the church that I believe in. So that's why I can only go so far where cultural and traditional stuff goes.
And with me, I'm opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe in what the church or the Bible has to say, because it's been re-advised so many times. And as a child, I grew up around religion so much that when I got older, I couldn't understand what they were talking about. To me, they were praying that the Toronto and Edmonton won a baseball game or a football game. They were praying for Prime Minister Trudeau and his wife to get back together again. They were praying for things to me that didn't make any sense. Why not pray for the people that are homeless? Why not pray that these people get enough food to eat? Why not pray for all the sadness in the world? why not pray to make other people's lives better? Traditional Native people pray for a people to become better, to have, to strive for something better in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's such a big difference. They pray, maybe they pray when they take medicine from the ground or they kill a deer, and that's only because it will, so that it will replenish itself. And if they don't pray, then maybe that's knocking off all those animals, and it, they'll never come back. But an elder person is not somebody that's old, like 105 years old. That's not
mm-hmm.
an elder. An
mm-hmm.
elder is a person that's been through a rough time in their life, and that like I might be an elder. If you come to me and you ask me questions, and I'll start talking to you, and it'll make sense to you. You don't have to take my opinion. You can look at it, and if it makes sense to you, you can use it. An elder person is anybody older than the person in the room. That's
mm-hmm.
what an elder is.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot, because a lot of people
keep telling her I'm her elder, but it doesn't.
She doesn't respect that, eh?
Giving the full lowdown on it, like this shell here that I'm wearing. There's not very many people that know the meaning of the shell. They don't even know what the name of the shell is. You know what the meaning of the shell is? Okay. The shell is called a mega shell or a cowrie shell. The mega shell was called that by Native people. But when the white people entered the Native land, they called it the cowrie shell. This shell blew the breath of life into the Native person. This is why you'll see this will always come around. You will, like, it'll go away for a while because people don't understand it. But if they were taught to understand what this shell was about, and why this little line is there, and why these little scars are on there, and why the back is the way it is, then you'll understand what this shell means.
Oh, yeah.